Blog Talk Radio.
Chag HaPesach Sameach. Yes, happy, here, fullness right here, coming to the fullness, but here at day six, let's hold on right here till we get everything queued up. Yes, so here fulfilling day five, and also the Shabbat reading, which in the season is Song of Songs. So here, as yes, greetings, Chag HaPesach Sameach, Chabarim, Chag Feast HaPesach, the Passover Sameach, Happy Chabarim, Associates, Friends, yes, I, Talmudim as well, fellow disciples. So here, coming to, we say a fullness. You know, we're not at the fulfillment, but here coming to the sixth day, just completed the fifth day's reading here on the podcast. And here in the early hours right here, give thanks to those who can join I and I, you know, here. And all ones can check out the read podcast as well, you know. But just so we get a better familiarity and understanding of what's going on here in the season, in fact, we should begin off right here because we're at day six. So what occurs on day six, according to the tribe. So here at day six. Interesting, day six. So we have, actually we got the numbers. We're actually going to actually stack it up right there because we see, you know, just how the schedule, usually 7 days in diaspora, it's like there's an eighth day as well, an eighth day's reading as well. Go over, I think the Ezekiel is very important. Give thanks to Ras Sahar Ahad for that reading. Also for, you know, the brethren, you know, for their co-labor behind the scenes as well. Here we had touched on, what was it? It was the Exodus 33:12 to 34:26. But here we have looking at the sixth day. We have Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 to 14. Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 to 14. We're going to bring forward. We might touch on the Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to 15, 26. Because as we're moving forward in new Shavua and the season coming to a fulfillment, you could say on the Monday podcast, right there. So just catching up right here. There were some updates that we already made. One can listen to the previous record. But here, let's touch on the 6 days reading. So the sixth day of the feast, of the festival, although in the regular, you know, order of days, we're here at the first day. But, of course, the feast, the festival takes precedence. We touched on that with even the Kabbalat Shabbat. On that level, we could have gone for full of that, but then we didn't have time, you know, in the gathering. And then we just give significance to the Mo'adim. And that's what's most important. But we learn from the Torah that even a weekly Shabbat still matters. That's what needs to be understood, right? And the ancients and even those before us had understood that. So it's good to go over some of those readings and reasonings. But what we've learned by practice. We learn by actually practice and doing. You know, this has kind of confirmed it for many of I and I, and hopefully will confirm for others. So the reading here has to do with the Torah, the instructions, plural sense, Torah of Pesach, because it's various different instructions given. So collectively, they are instructions, but as all as one instruction come from Yahweh, he who be, who he be. So the observance on the 14th day of the month of Abib. So we're still in the first moon, the first month from the Torah. From the Torah, this month is known as Abib. So here in speaking of the sixth day, the reading, we have the laws, the Torah of Passover. Now, commonly it would be called laws, but so that we become familiar, that's not really law in that sense, and we need to understand it as an instruction. Covenant keeping is an instruction. According to the observance, right, on the 14th day of the month of B, this is what we will go over with the reading. There's also a second chance, something that is called like a second chance for observing Pesach, as we find, or Pesach Sheni, the second Passover. What does that mean? Well, if one was on a journey, or if one was not clean, you know, in order to observe, you know, this communal, you could say worship, then there's a second chance a month later on, right? We have a second chance a month later on. So the reading from Numbers chapter 9, it brings it out and clarifies that. This was given to accommodate those who were ritually unclean for the Seder, for the order, you know, in order to fellowship with others, right? If it was unclean or on a journey. The second day, or this second Pesach, would be 1 month later, right? In the next month, the second month coming forward. That's known as Iyar, by 14th. So there's a various sacrificial requirements, right, as well for the holiday of Passover. Now, for us in the Brit Chadasha, you know, the offering of debtors for sin, so forth and so on, is not compulsory. It's not upon us in the new covenant of Yeshua HaMoshiach, of the King of Kings Christ. Just to note that there. But now, as we also keep looking forward, we also have the seventh day's reading. I say that because, you know, when we looked at one of the charts, there seemed to be a little mix up the readings, but still, we're growing in grace, we're learning. And on the seventh day's reading, we have Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to chapter 15, verse 26, right? All connected with the observance here, describing the Israelites' experience. What was their experience? You know, there's a saying that they say that any fool can learn from his own mistakes or errors, but a wise person can learn and will learn from the mistakes of others. So hopefully we can be wise in this wise and learn from the experiences of the Israelites following the Exodus, Hayetziat, the coming out. Recall when Paro, when the great house of Mitzrayim, of the two lands, mobilized the Mitzrayim army and began his pursuit of the fleeing Israelites. When the Israelites, the Bnei Yisrael, reached the Yam Suf, right, the Sea of Reeds, that's called in translation the Red Sea, Moshe, he raised his rod. The waters split apart, and the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, were miraculously saved. Hosha'ina, right, Hoshi'a, right, they were Yeshua, they were saved when the Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim is the proper, but the old sense, you know, uses Egyptians. But as we get to learn things, we recognize what they really call themselves Egyptians. This is why we find Mitzrayim and Mitzri to be more proper. But when the Mitzrayim reached the water, they were bogged down. You know, they were bogged down. You know, their wheels wouldn't turn. You know, they sank to the bottom and they were drowned. Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael, they sang a magnificent song of thanksgiving. This is often referred to as the Song of Moses, as well as the Shirat HaYam, the Song of the Sea, often referred to as the Song of Moses. Now, there's a Haftarah. The Haftarah reading of 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 15, where David HaMelech, David the king, Negus David, King David, he composes a song of thanks, of Toda to Yahweh, for all his victories, Yeshuot, the victories, salvations over his enemies. Now the Haftarah reading, the 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 15, it concludes with this sentence that is also included at the conclusion of the grace after meals. This is important. There's a blessing before certain rite and ritual eating together in community. This is what we have in the Passover Seder and what Robeinu Adonainu Yeshua did with the Talmudai, with his disciples, right? And then we also have what's known as the grace after meals, So in some cases, one might say with certain Yehudi and Torah observant, why do we in some cases give a grace after meals? You know, well, it's based on this right here, connected with the 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 15. And this concluding sentence, which is the conclusion, at the conclusion is what's recited for the grace after meal. So in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 51, why is this 51 here? I don't know if it's a typo right here, but the song, the fullness of the song, at the end it says, a tower of salvation of his king. A tower of salvation of his king, who shows mercy to his anointed, to David, to Dawid, and to his seed forever, for evermore. At the end of the song found in 2 Samuel chapter 22, right, in chapter 22, we have that concluding, we could say conclusion sentence, which is also included as a traditional grace after meals, a tower of salvation of his king, who shows mercy to his Moshiach, Moshicho, his Messiah, to Dawid, to David, and to his seed, his race, his seed, forever, for evermore. So right there, just getting an overview right here, you know, and also to, you know, recognize that, you know, the honor for what time it is in the sequence of things, you know, the first day, right? Because right when we get to Monday, we're going to get right into the schedule. You know what I mean? It's just interesting how it kind of works together, you know, it kind of like flows together. But here we have the first day song for the Ehud, for the Yom Rishon, right, within the order of things, sixth day of the feast, right, first day song as we begin
Psalm
the new 24. Cycle.
Yes. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, 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 Selah.
We have Psalm 24 right here. Here in the Hebrew, Queen Makeda, we have clean hands, Niki Kapayim, clean palms, the cop, Kapayim, palms, the palms of the hand. You know, Niki, clean or innocent, Kapayim, clean hands, Ubar Lebab, and a pure heart or a purified heart, right here, from Psalm 24 in the Ivri to Hebrew, clean hands, Queen Makeda, right here.
He made the world and all, and how
Yes. So here, the grace after meals, give thanks. That's Queen Makeda there with Clean Hands. Check it out. Get a copy of the albums. Love the albums right there, Queen Makeda. Yes, I. So here we have Second Samuel, just to touching on the grace after meal and that 51st verse. I had to get the scrolls right here, 51st verse. So we have 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 51. And so connected with like the seventh day's reading right here. We have 2 Samuel, Haftarah, 2 Samuel. I think the fullness is actually chapter 22, the full psalm right there. This is a typo we see before us right there. You know, when you read something, that doesn't really vibe right. You know, you check it out and it might not be right. It might be an error. So, you know, slicha, forgive I, you know, Yah and my brothers and sisters. So here, King David, he composed a song of thanks to Elohim for all the Yeshuot, to Yahuwah, for all his Yeshuot over his enemies, his victories over his enemies. And the Haftarah, it concludes, as we said here, 2 Samuel chapter 22. The full of it, this song of David, this victory song, victory lap, a victory song. And it's also included at the conclusion of the grace after meals. And it's this sentence here. We have before us, a tower of salvation is he to his king and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. So here, but if we read here in 2 Shemuel, 2 Samuel, Migdol, Yeshuot, Malko, Migdol, like a tower, kind of like a, yeah, elevated place. It could be a tower in the traditional sense, but it's an interesting word. It can also be a tower in some of those other kind of monuments. But in the basic sense, a tower, Migdol, a tower. Yeshuot. Here we have, even at the root of the name of the Savior, Yeshua, we have Yeshuot. Yeshuot is like victories. So even the translations often are, you know, a tower of salvation. But in the Hebrew sense of it, it's a tower of salvation, it's a tower of victory. Migdol Yeshuot Malko. Literally, tower, salvations, his king. But the Hebrew sense is a tower of salvations. In the constructive sense, Migdol Yeshuot, tower of Yeshuot, of salvations, victories. Malko, Malko, his king. The sense implied here is to his king, a tower of salvations, his king. Migdol Yeshuot Malko, and sheweth mercy to his anointed. Ve'oseh chesed, ve'oseh chesed, and he doeth oseh, he is the doer. This sense here, oseh, is like he also be the doer. He's and the doer chesed of chesed. Remember the chesed in the 13 migdot attributes, the 13 attributes of Yahweh. Hakados Baruch Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, who He be. Well, remember what it says, Rav Chesed, right? Rav Chesed Ve'emet. We recall that correctly. He is enough in goodness. You know, he's enough in goodness. Let's get that right here. Give me one moment. You know, sometimes we remember it, but just to trust and verify. So here, pointing to the attributes, so we can show the connection of our study in learning of him. When it says to seek Yahweh Eloheinu while he may be found, the Hebrew sense is to study. Study his revealed revelation, because we people may say what they believe or think or say, but as we study it, we might find some of that to be true and maybe some of it not to be true. But we have to know the truth for ourselves. We're Rav Chesed Ve'emet. So yeah, we're Rav Chesed Ve'emet. It's Exodus chapter 34 at verse 5, within the last part of the attribute right there. We're and Rav, Nuf Chesed, Nuf mercy, right? Enough mercy, or sometimes translated as abundant in goodness, Nuf in goodness, Nuf in goodness, abundant in goodness. We're Rav Chesed, we're and Emet, we're Emet, Emet, like Emet, Emet, the sense of truth, like Emmett Till, for example. I'd love to use that example right there because it's interesting, you know, that even the name of that youth is truth, you know, and what a truth, you know, that, you know, revealed to the once lost, now found. We're Rav Chesed or we're Emmett. So here we have in 2 Samuel chapter 22 at verse 51, which is recited as a grace after meal. Part of this is, you know, this is part of the grace after meal. We're Oseh, the doer, right? The doer of chesed, the doer of that goodness that is his mercy, that is his loving kindness, is true, that true love. We're Oseh chesed lim shicho. We're Oseh chesed lim shicho. Li mishicho. We're Oseh chesed Li Meshicho. We're Oseh Chesed Li Meshicho. And sheweth and doeth mercy to and for and of his anointed. Li Meshicho. Li Meshicho. Li Meshicho. We're Oseh Chesed Li Meshicho. So here we have Mashiach, but here in the possessive sense of Meshicho. Meshicho is his Mashiach, his anointed. Le David ulazar'o ad olam. To David, le David, of David, for David, le David, u and le for of zar'o. Le David ulazar'o and of his seed, to David and to his seed, his race, zar'o. His seed, odd, going on, the sense of odd in the Hebrew is going on, like like a continuing sense, olam, going on. Translators often has forevermore. The Hebrew sense of that is to time indefinite, to an indefinite time, right? It's out of like a time out of mind, a time beyond the distant horizon. This is the Hebrew sense. There's a hidden level of that, but there's a indefinite of that. Like that brings out the true Hebrew sense of forever. So it's this verse here, Tower of Salvation, says he to his king, Migdola Yeshuota Mal, and sheweth mercy to his anointed, Ve'oseh Chesedah Limshicho, to David and his seed, forevermore, to time indefinite, let David ulazar o ad olam. Let's just build on this right here, this last little part right here. A tower of salvation. The Hebrew word for tower is migdal. Migdal. Right? And some even say within the name of Maria Magdalene, the Magdalene, is that migdal sense right there. Some of us even see a connection, you know, with that right there, but the migdal sense means tower, right? The ketiv, what is written actually in the Hebrew manuscripts is actually magdil, right? So the literal, what we see in the Hebrew that's literally written is magdil, right? As in Psalms, for example, great salvation giveth he. Great salvation giveth thee, right? But it's pointed as migdal, right? But if you look at the Hebrew, you'll see that it's mem nun dalet yod lamed, or M-G-D-Y-L. But often we have what we call the ketib, what is actually written in those manuscripts. And sometimes some say maybe it might be typographical errors, you know, in writing. But the more usual word that fits the context is not so much magdil, but is migdal, right? Both of these readings, right? So there's two possible readings, the magdil and migdal. See, migdal, check it. Migdal has a mean, gimel, dalet, wow, and lamet. So in simple English, that'll be a M-G-D-W-L. But what happens when, you know, in writing, in script writing, the yod is like a short wow. The yod is, the y is like a short wow. So some say that it could be, you know, either error in the copyist, right, or an error in the manuscript, so forth and so on. But then some of us say, well, that might be so, but he secures his word, and this is one reason why migdal and the keti, the kere is migdal. What is said is migdal. And the translation comes from what is traditionally said, but the ketiv, or what's actually written, is magdil. But both of these readings are found in the Hebrew grace after meal. So in the Seder book, the prayer book, we find this both readings in the grace after meal. In order to use both verses, one of them was assigned for weekdays, so during the usual weekdays, and the other for Shabbat days. This is kind of an interesting nuance right there, because we have a tower of salvation is he, right? And great salvation giveth, bring our sense of giveth he to who? To his king, Malko. Malko. So Melech is king, but in the, what was it called in the grammar of the language, in the possessive sense, Malko, 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 his king. Right, so we have David himself, as the man chosen by Yahweh Eloheinu to be Melech Yisrael, to be king of Israel, to David, right, and to his seed forevermore. But I want you to note the part about his anointed. Because in the Hebrew sense, we need to understand that the first one that we have in the scripts being anointed was Aaron. And the first anointed ones in the plural sense was Benayo, his banim, his sons. So they were like, if you like in Christ, it said we found the Messiah. In the New Testament, it says we found the Messiah, the Moshiach. That is being interpreted Christos. In other words, we found the Moshiach, which means anointed one. That which is being interpreted in another language, Christos, to say anointed one. So we have to understand that the root idea is anointing. And therefore, based on the witness, the testimony, how did this idea that comes forward to how Moshiach Yeshua, what's the foundation? The foundation that Aharon, being the high priest, notice he was anointed, and his sons, his fellow priests. This is why in the New Testament, Brit Chadasha sense, we have the apostles, right? And even in the epistle to the Hebrews, referring to Yeshua, right, as the high priest of our profession, right? And Peter also mentioned that with this royal priesthood. And then Revelation also says he has made us, you know, priests and kings to his God, you know, our God, his Father, our Father. So we get that sense right there, there. So the Moshiach sense. So in the first sense, the high priest of Yisrael. So often when one apply the Messiah sense of it, this is what kind of brings out a clearer understanding of the first and the second advent, right? Or the Moshiach ben Yosef, or Joseph and the Moshiach ben David, the first and second advent, right? As it is known. And this all comes out of Yehudi, Judaic, Hebraic reasoning on Torah, and actually comes right into, right, the New Testament understanding. So from a Hebrew and a Judaic view, it becomes kind of clear context that is kind of lost, right, among the nations. You know what I mean? And this is where other things, you know, vain things of religiosity have crept in, because the simple sense is that Messiah in the first sense was the high priest, right? He is the Messiah, like you say, the great Messiah, and that's it. He's the high, the big priest. But his sons are messiahs. That likeness, that pattern there, is found in the Brit Chadasha, the Adis Kidan, in the New Testament, with Yeshua, Jesus Christos, and with us as Nazarene or Christianoi, as it was later, as, you know, our peoples, and we were called by others. Be that as it may, that's the first sense. But then we have it in the secondary sense, where the king, remember one time, Yisrael, the only king that Yisrael had, right, basically, and the true king is Yahuwah himself, but Yahuwah Elohim is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth, right? But we, humanity, has fallen to the flesh, right? So he uses these patterns to rise us up. So we first see the Messiah in the first instance. Right. In the first example, the first instance is regarding the priestly functions. And then in the epistle to the Hebrews, it clearly lines that up for the role of Yeshua HaNotri, right, of Meshachenu, our Messiah, right, the King of Kings Christ. Just want to point that out. So we have the first sense, high priest sense, right, the sons, priests, the Christians, Christ, our high priest. And we, in him, through him, to his Father, our Father, priest. Over that. But priest within the sense of anointing. See? Because remember this, all of the priests, including Aaron and his sons, were Levites. But not all of the Levites were priests. So there were functions that only the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, Aharon, the anointed, right, could do, and his sons, the anointed ones, to say almost Christians or anointed ones, could do, while the Levites, they served, right, along within the Mishkan, within the holy place, that contextually speaking, the Hebrew church, right? But then we have the anointing aspects, right, now related to kingship. So when we read in the Torah, when it says, when you shall want a king, just like everybody else has a king, you know, Shemuel, Samuel protested. Didn't he protest? And Yahweh says, hey, you know, it's good. Don't fret yourself. You know, because now we can see why Yahuwah told to Shemuel, Samuel, that fretted, that now the people want a king, but you always have been the king, Yahuwah. Right? So in a sense, in a very interesting sense, even for I and I call children faithful Rastafari, right? That man, you know, upon whom the spirit of truth for us who receive the truth of Kedemah HaLaSalash, that it returns, think about it, it returns it, right, to that kingship and sovereignty of Yahweh Eloheinu in spirit and in truth. It's just an interesting concept right there. But in looking at kingship, right, to also bring in the secondary sense of anointing, the secondary sense of anointing. And we think of this as almost like a stopgap measure because Father already knew, you know, of course, you know, what to do, right, to save, right, his erring people who receive. So here we have to David and to his seed forevermore, this connection of David, this connection of true Sion, true Zion. Even we say that African Zion, true Sion, right? And that connection also with the Ark of the Covenant and that connection, of course, of Ethiopia is there. That's why he says, with Ethiopia, this man was born there. Even elsewhere in the psalm, it says, the man who you have made strong for yourself. This is why we say properly, Siyume Exiavia is the elect of Exiavia. Some of us might have said, well, the elect of himself. But we have to watch even inadvertent overstepping. Check, check. To David and to his seed forevermore. Now, because of the third person sense, notice this verse here. There's a third person sense of this verse, verse 51, right, of 2 Samuel chapter 22. Because of the third person sense, most modern commentators, right, most modern commentators, they take the words of this verse to be a later addition. But we have to be careful of that because we just showed you where Yahweh himself, where he revealed to Moshe, right? Moses said, I want to get to know you better. You know, we want to know you. You know what I mean? You know, and Yahweh said, well, no man, you know, can see my face and live. But that brings another important question, right? Well, how did he talk to him face to face? You know, and the answer is there, you know, but, you know, from low degrees to high degrees, in words, we have to first get basic steps. We can't just dismiss it if we don't know the script. I mean, we can, but that would not make it good. But here we have in Exodus chapter 34, right, in chapter 34, where it says, and Yahuwah passed by before him, speaking of Moshe, passing by before Moshe, crossing over in front of Moshe, Vayabor Yahuwah, and he cross over the Hebrew sense, that abar, the root word right there in yabor, is like to cross over from one side to the next. And we say, was this from the spiritual aspect into a more temporal manifested aspect, where it says how he descended in the cloud and stood there with him? Yabor Yahuwah al panayo, before him, before his face, right? Vayikra, and he said, or and he proclaimed, Yikra, or he called out, Yahuwah, Yahuwah El. Now, as we go on to attributes, notice something. It says that the Lord, Yahuwah, Jehovah, passed by before him, speaking of Moses, and proclaimed. And also Yahuwah, he passed by, first act, and then he proclaimed, he called out, right? Yahuwah, Yahuwah. But isn't he speaking in a third person sense here? Yah does this often. Should we conclude that that's a latter addition? You know, so why should we say that when this verse reads the way it reads, that this is not the words of David Dawid? But some say when it says to David and to his seed forevermore, because of the third person, many of the modern commentators, right, they take the words of the verse to be a later addition. But they may, and no doubt well be, Dawid's own words. I just gave you another, you know, example. And this happens often. You know what I mean? This happens often, the third person speech, right? The third person speech. It's almost like when we say we, you know what I mean? Or if I'm a chairman, and you know what I mean, in something, I would say, well, the chairman agrees with the member. Now, people say, well, you're the chairman. Why can't you say I? It's to humble that I and to fulfill the function. Check. So it says right here that these words may well be David's own. He drops the first person and surveys, weighs, assesses his own life from without in the light, in the illumination, right, of the great promise of 2 Shmuel, of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. We're going to get up just now, but let's just go through this right here. And got a reason on Song of Songs. You know, what about that part, I am black, in Song of Songs? It's interesting, the gymnastics that some of the latter-day Yehudi do to kind of get around the obvious. But here we have 2 Samuel chapter 7 at verses 12 to 16. Here we're reading from the Hebraic to the English, so it might be different in some places. Please note that, and let's reason on it. Here, verse 12, when thy days are fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy father, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, when thy days are fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed, thy race, thy seed after thee, that shall proceed out of thy body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for Shemi, for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, to time indefinite. Verse 14, I will be to him for a father, and he shall be to me for a son. If he commit iniquity, moral perversity, I will chastise him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men, the Bnei Adam, the sons of men. Humanity, so to speak. Verse 15, but my mercy with chasdi, and chasdi, my chesed, chasdi, and my mercy, the Hebrew is more, and my mercy, right? But the translator translates the and many times as but actually it's and, with chasdi, and my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Shaul, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house, verse 16 right here, and thy house and thy kingdom shall be made sure forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever, to time indefinite forever. Now this is verse 17, this will conclude this section. According to all these words and according to all this vision, right? Ha chizayon hazeh, the vision of this. Ha chizayon hazeh. According to all this vision, did Nathan speak to David? Came diber Nathan el David. He spoke to David. So no doubt this here can well be David's own words here, recalling to mind the promises, the yea and amen that was, you know, given to him right here. But it's just important to note that this verse, verse 51, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 51, is what is said as part of the grace after meal. Migdola Yeshuota Malkoa, where Ose has said, Lima Shecho, Le Dawida Ulazar O, Ada Olam, a tower of salvations is he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, his Mashiach, to David, to David, and to his seed forevermore, to time indefinite, to the world without end. Yes, yes, Pastor Farai, right there. It's a very interesting note and a word right there, but let's pick up right here, since we're speaking about Messiah, you know, and the principle of Messiah, you know, the first and second advent of Messiah. Hear a tune from Brother Mavado on the Messiah.
I shall never forget. can't stop me from sing.
Cause I saw the light, no more dark. Plus I put me in the light. Yeah.
One man me fear, ready Messiah. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me numb, no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought it's real, the pain me a feel. Them a kill with some vendetta.
God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it's shaken. Thou hast showed thy people hard things, thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our end, 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 tread down our end.
Babylon burning, Babylon burning, Babylon burning. They have no water. Fire, fire, fire.
What I more. You say fire, more
fire.
King Selassie is the Almighty. I.
I'm gonna say give thanks for life. You want love, love people. I'm gonna say you're the provider, Selassie, the Almighty. I. Rastafari live on the main and the heart of our flesh. Kalonji, boom. Get to place the fire, rise his eye. So, open your eyes, you better be wise. You will know the awful death.
Fire hot. Indeed. Fire hot, fire hot, fire hot, yeah hot, yeah hot. Indeed. So terrifying was the sight that Moses, Musa said, I tremble with fear. I tremble with fear. I tremble with fear.
Fire hot.
Indeed.
Fire hot. Fire hot. Fire hot. Yeah hot. Yeah hot.
Indeed. So terrifying was the sight that Moses, Musa said, I tremble with fear. Behold, look in sight. You have come to Mount Zion. And to the city of the living King of Kings, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels, to festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn.
Pause. This song right here, this is Lopez Walker, Sin Another Moses. Now, as we study the Torah, we learn that Moshiach, Yeshua, is greater than Moses, but yet that pointing to a prophet like to him. Yeshua, Moshiach, here, Lopez Walker.
Send another Moses.
Reach you,
to whip them with the right up.
yes, yes, yes. Under the grace and the grace and under Baraka. So here we're going to go to the 6 days reading and even touch on the 7th days reading. Traditionally, it would end on the Monday coming forward right there. But, you know, here, even in the diaspora and the give ones and ones a good here, we're going to carry on right here, here, here. So Shema Yisrael. Here we have the 6 days reading, Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 to 14. Plus Numbers 28, the Maftir, 28, 19 to 25, dealing with the particulars of the offerings, and then also day 7 reading as well. What was it here? Yeah, the Samuel's reading to focus on that we touched on the last verse there, including in the blessing after meals. So here. Let's ride up right here. Yes, sir. Rastafari.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad.
Chapter 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even, in the wilderness of Sinai. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of the man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of the man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month, at even, they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean, and is not in a journey, and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto the Lord, according to the ordinance of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. He shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land.
Was born in the land. Was born in the land. Was born in the land. Was born in the land. Was born in the land. Was born in the land. Was born in the land. Was born in the land. Was born in the land. Was born in the land.
And the Maftir, Numbers, chapter 28.
Chapter 28. Chapter 28. Chapter 28. Chapter 28. Chapter 28. Chapter 28. But ye shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto the Lord. 2 young bullocks and 1 ram and 7 lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil. 3/10 deals shall ye offer for a bullock, and 2/10 deals for a ram. A several 10th deal shalt thou offer for every lamb throughout the 7 lambs. And 1 goat for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. Ye shall offer these beside the burnt offering in the morning, which is for a continual burnt offering. After this manner ye shall offer daily throughout the 7 days the meat of the sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. It shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And on the 7th day ye shall have an holy convocation. He shall do no servil work.
No servil work. No servil work. No servil work. No servil work. No servil work. No servil work. No servil work. No servil work. No servil work. No servil work.
What a offer, you know teacher gave us life. Free without cost, priceless without price. What a offer, you know teacher gave us life. Give thanks unto the blood Christ. Hey yo, what a offer, you know teacher.
Yahusha gave us life. Free we don't got price, this we don't price. What a Abba, you know Yahusha gave us life. Give thanks unto the black Christ. Check it. Men and people are nice, who not like their rich life. Alright, them a work for the Antichrist. Them want blood to drink, them want pesticide. Them can't buy me out like no peas and no rice. Life's the greatest gift, so take me advice. I want to live, they want to die, and that's their choice. Red life is so joyful, life is so nice. Red, gold and green of the ice. You say, yo, what a happen? You know things that gave us life. Free we don't talk, right? Less we don't write. What a happen? You know things that gave us life. Give thanks unto the black Christ. You say, yo, what a happen? You know things that gave us life. Free we don't talk, right? Less we don't write. What a happen? You know things that gave us life. Give thanks unto the black Christ.
Bless you. We find your peace are unmovable. Bless you. We find your peace are unmovable. Bless you. We find your peace are unmovable.
Psalm 60. O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it's shaken. Thou hast showed thy people hard things, thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our end, tread down our end, tread down our end.
מזמור סמך למנצח על שושן עדות, מכתם לדוד ללמד, בהצותו את ארם נהריים ואת ארם צובה, וישוב יואב ויח את אדום בגי מלח, שנים עשר א'. אלוהים זנחתנו פרצתנו, ענפת תשובב לנו, הרעשת ארץ וצמת, רפא שבריה חימת, הראית עמך קשה, השקיטנו יין תרעלה, נתת לרעך נס להתנוסס, מפני קושת סלע, למען יחלצון ידידיך, הושיעה ימינך וענני, אלוהים דיבר בקודשו, העלוזה אחלקה שכם ועמק סוכות המדד. לי גלעד ולי מנשה ואפרים מעוז ראשי, יהודה מחוקקי, מואב סיר רחתי, על אדום אשליך נעלי, עלי פלשת התרועעי. מי יובילני עיר מצור? מי נחני עד אדום? הלא אתה אלוהים זנחתנו, ולא תצא אלוהים בצבאותינו. הבה לנו עזרת מצר, ושב תשועת אדם. באלוהים נעשה חיל, והוא יבוס צרינו, 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 צרינו.
Yes, 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 yes. We're going to do a little time dilation right here just to bring forth Sunday reading and get into Song of Songs. I'll follow them a little bit more. So here we have the Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to 15, 26, reading and feeding right here, describing Israel's experience following the Exodus, how Paro, how mobilized, and that's going to then link us to Haftarah, right? Second Sam chapter 22, you know, the fuller psalm, give thanks, co-laborers, right there. So here. For the Shema.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad.
The Exodus chapter 13, verse 17.
The second book of Moses, called Exodus, 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 Exodus. Chapter 13. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males. But all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The second book of Moses, called Exodus, 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 Exodus. Chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me?
Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued, and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Moses, 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 Moses. The second book of Moses, called Exodus, 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 Exodus. Chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchedst out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength, unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancers. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and found no water. And when they came to Merah, they could not drink of the waters of Merah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Merah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee, 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 healeth thee.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad,
Adonai Echad,
Adonai Echad.
Hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel.
Second Samuel chapter 22 verse 1 to verse 51. Besa ma'aba wawale mefasa kadus ahadu amlak. And Dawid spake to Yahweh Buruku the words of this song in the day that Yahweh had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Shaul. And he said, Yahweh Buruku is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the Elohim of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised, Buruku. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of wicked men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon Yahweh Buruku, and cried to my Elohim, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved and shook, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire issued out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. Yahweh Buruku thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. In the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered. At the rebuke of Yahweh, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighteth in me. Yahweh Buruku rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands have he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh and have not wickedly departed from my Elohim. For all his judgments were before me. As for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore Yahweh have recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the forward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Yahweh, and Yahweh will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, by my Elohim have I leaped over a wall. As for El, his way is perfect, the word of Yahweh is tried, he is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is El save Yahweh, Buruku? And who is a rock save our Elohim? El is my strength and power, higher, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hen's feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness have made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are all fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I may destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to Yahweh Buruku, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be the head, the ras of the heathen, a people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves to me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient to me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. Yahweh liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the Elohim of the rock of my salvation. El, who avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from my enemies, thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to thee, O Yahweh Buruku, among the heathen, and I will sing praises to thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Amen.
Hallelujah. Offering thanks, Hallel. Let us thank Yahweh, our Elohim, for the miracle of our deliverance. Blessed be Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of Israel, who makes us rejoice with the psalms of praise. Hallelujah, Abde Yahuwah. Hallelujah, et Shem Yahuwah. Yehi Shem Yahuwah, mi borak me'ata we'ad olam, mi mizrach shemesh ad mi bow. Mehulal Shem Yahuwah, Ram El Kol Goyim, Yahuwah El Hashemayim Kabodo. Praise Yah, Hallelujah. Praise, O servants of Yahweh. Praise the name of Yahweh. Blessed be the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forever, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of Yahweh is to be praised. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem. Yahweh is high above all nations, and his glory is above the heavens. Who is like Yahweh, our Elohim, who is enthroned on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise Yahweh.
Hallel, that's a Hallel, Hallel right there. And Hallel, y'all, Hallel, Hallelujah. Here, thanking Elohim.
Thanking God, thanking Elohim for the appointed times. Jah established the Moedim, or appointed times, in order to reveal prophetic truth regarding his great plan of salvation given through the Messiah. Let us thank him for the divine calendar that he has revealed in the scriptures. All recite, Baruch Atah Yahuwah Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Natan Lanu Chagim, Chukot, Umoadim, Lisimcha, Likbod Yeshua HaMashiach Adonainu, Or HaOlam. Blessed are the Yahweh, our Elohim, King of the Universe, Universal King, who has given to us holy days, customs, and seasons of happiness, for the glory of our Adonai, Yeshua the Messiah, the light of the world. Our Seder begins at sundown on Nisan or Abib 14, which then becomes Nisan or Abib 15 during Kiddush. Nisan 15 also marks the start of the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. 2 days after Passover, Nisan 17, we celebrate the Feast of First Fruits, Chag HaBikorim, which commemorates the resurrection of Yeshua from the dead. Outside of Israel, all major holy days except for Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonements, are observed for an additional day called Yom Tov Sheni, which means that some of the people will attend a second Seder on Nisan 15 and 16. Note that since both Passover and unleavened bread run concurrently, it is customary to refer to both as Passover week.
Yes, yes, yes. So here, 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 a Brit Chadasha reading, New Covenant reading right here.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Chadasha Aliyot. Aliyot. Aliyot.
So we had the Haftarah right here. That was the second Shemuel. Second Samuel chapter 22, right there. Here's the Brit Hadasha, New Covenant reading.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabarot Shel Habarik Ha Hadasha. Baruch Ata Adonai Notain Habarik Ha Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the Universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha Chadish Kidan Renewed Covenant Reading for Feast of Unleavened Bread, Day 2. Chag HaMatzot Yom Sheni. Coming from...
Yeah. Yeah, so Day 2, and also at this point, we also refer to it here. So definitely New Covenant readings, I would say fully read them straight through so one can see the shadow fulfilled in the New Covenant. But here, from Day 2, and here... At this day 6, yes.
Shema the Brit Chadasha Chadish Kidan Renewed Covenant Reading for Feast of Unleavened Bread, Day 2. Chag HaMatzot Yom Sheni. Coming from the Book of Revelation, Chapter 15, Verse 1 through 4. We'll be reading the fuller full. We begin, B'Shem Ha'ab V'Habein Ruach HaKadosh Yahuwah Ahad, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Revelation, Chapter 15, The Seven Vials, Vision of the Angels of the Seven Last Plagues, the Bowls of the Wrath of Elohim. Verse 1, Aleph, verse 2, Beit, verse 3, Gimel. Va'era ot acher bashemaim gadol v'nifla sheba malakim nosim et sheba hamakot ha'acharonot ki bahen kala za'am Elohim. Va'era ki yam zikokit balul ba'esh ואת המתגברים על החיה ועל צלמה ועל טאווה ועל מספר שמה עומדים על ים הזקוקית וכנורות אלוהים בידיהם וישירו את שירת משה עבד אלוהים ושירת הסה למור גדולים מעשיך ונפלאים יהוה אלוהים צבאות צדק ואמת דרכך מלך הקדושים. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of Elohim. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of Elohim. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of Elohim, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Yahuwah Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Yahuwah, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of Elohim, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of Elohim and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled.
Kabor Lakalu, Kabor Ladimtu, Kabor Lachailu, Kabor Lakedamawi, Chaile Salase, by Jesus Christo Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power, glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Yes, yes, yes. Interesting right there, just in hearing that reading. That reading, again, when it speaks about the seven plagues, those seven angels, you know, we hear it, and but sometimes when you hear it again, you're like, oh, wow. Did I pick up that before? It was right over here where it spoke about, it says, and one of the four, yeah, one of the four beasts, verse seven, and one of the four beasts gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of Elohim, who liveth forever and ever. Interesting right here. Hi Elohim, ha-hai le-olmei ha-olamin. But it's a part right there in one of the four beasts. The four beasts, interesting. One of those four beasts gave to the seven angels the seven golden vials full of the wrath of Elohim, who liveth forever and ever. It's interesting because, okay, the beasts, who are the beasts? And the beast system, you know, giving to one of those seven angels, you know, just a thought right here, you know, like people say, oh, so-and-so is down with such-and-such. But remember that Elohim has put it into their hearts to fulfill his will. So it's best for us to stay in his way, truth and life, and not get so caught up about some other things. Because right there, one of the four beasts gave those vials of destruction, you know, that are, to come. But here, comes to fulfillment, going to touch on the Shir HaShirim, and, you know, Medi on that particular point right there. What you think about that? So which one? Who are the four beasts? You know, according to Revelation and even according to Daniel, who are those four beasts right there? You know, that John the Revelator. This is Sun House right here, classic right here for the season. John the Revelator.
Tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seventh seal. Who's that writing? John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator. Well, who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seventh seal. You know, God walked down in the cool of the day, called Adam by his name. And he refused to answer because he's naked and ashamed. Who's that writing? John the Revelator. Who's that writing? John the Revelator. Who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seventh seal. You know, Christ had 12 apostles and 3 he led away. Say, watch with me 1 hour till I go yon and pray. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seas. Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Who's that writer? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seven seals. Christ came on the Easter morning. Mary and Martha was down to see. Go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. Tell me who's writing, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seventh seal. Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seven seas.
Yeah, that point right there, that was Sun House right there. You know, classic John the Revelator. But I don't know if Zai Havarin picked up on that right there. Just wanted to return to just for a moment right here that we have. And what was that? John Yohanan Hazon, Hazon Revelation. Yeah, Yohannes Rai. Let me get the scripts again. Give thanks, Ras, Ayas, and Tafar for the read, and Ras Sahar Ahad, also Ras Baruch Tafari for helping to coordinate, you know, the uploads and the shares here and there. Give thanks also to other Chabarim, also those who tune in, you know, Sister Sharon, you know, and Sister Yafaya, you know, and other brothers and sisters as well. You know, hail up Emmanuel, and yes, Sister Emmanuel, your brother Alonso as well. Yes, I. But here, it's just this part right here, you know, just a I've read it before, you know, I've heard it before, but it just stood out, you know. Give thanks, Brother Iason, for the read right there, and even bringing into the equation the Hebrew. It's this verse here, once again, this particular verse in chapter 15, right, chapter 15. Let me go to verse 5 right here. When it says, you know, actually verse 4, it says, who shall not fear thee? Who shall not reverence me, lo, Yiraika, Yahuwah? Me, who? Me, say who? Lo Yiraika, Yahuwah? Who will not Yiraika fear the Yiraika? Yiraika, Yiraika. You know, me, lo Yiraika, Yahuwah. Who will not fear thee, O Jehovah, and glorify thy name? For thou art Kadosh, set apart for all nations. Remember, it says King of Saints. Actually, we found out that that's what really he... King of nations, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. So it's now with even, they shall go to and fro. You know, it says that in Daniel's prophecy, they shall go to and fro. That's the system of the technology, right? Modulation, demodulation, the ones and the zeros. Another way of saying that, you know, is going to and fro, right? Not just about literally, but how the technology worked, the ones and the zero, open and close, yeah? So they shall go to and from what? When what happens? And knowledge shall increase. So for thy judgments, thy judgments are made manifest. That's verse 4 right there. Revelation, Chazon Yohanan, Revelation chapter 15. That was verse 4. In verse 5 it says, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in Shemayim in the heavens was open. And the seven angels, the seven messengers, the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues. Interesting right here. Let me look at the Hebrew right here. This is verse 6 right here. Vayetzu min ha-hekal shivat ha-malakim ha-noseim et sheba. Ha makot. Now this sense of the makot from maka, like the hit, the seven hits, you know, me lubayim, bada ahor we fach, wa hagorim, e zore zahav al libehem. So here's the verse, the fuller part. So they came out. Wayetzu, they came out. Min ha hekal, from the hekal, having seven plagues, these seven hits. But notice, they were clothed in pure and white linen. Now we're going to touch on the Shehar Sharim, right? Where the damsels, actually the woman. Right, who says in that? It's like a man and a woman kind of round table chat, like Papa Son and them did, like where, you know, one would say one thing and the next would say kind of back and forth between a man and a woman is Sher HaSharim. There's others that come in, like the daughters of Jerusalem and a few others that speak, but it's basically between the two of them, right? The male and the female. So that means we can look at the Hebrew, right, and discern, even the Royal Amharic and other Afro-Shemitic languages, you can discern who is speaking by how they speak, according to the Hebrew and the Afro-Shemitic. So I know a lot of ones will say, Solomon is black and comely. Well, no, No. Actually, it is the love interest. And another aspect of Solomon and Sheba is also the queen of Sheba as well. Some propose that Shulamite being the queen of Sheba. Interesting reasoning. But later on when it talks about my beloved is what, white and ready. Some people run off and say, oh, look, he's white. But no. See, the word here, sach, has not to do with skin or complexion like shachor does in the Hebrew, but sach has to do with clothing. So what it's saying when it says that they were clothed in pure and white linen, right? They were clothed in pure and white linen with sach, right? They were clothed in pure. It says me lubashim. I don't know if I said lubayim, but me lubashim. They were clothed bad, like in garments, tahor, right, that were clean, to say pure, tahor, as we talk about even the cleansing. The tahor is like the clean, and the tameh is like the unclean, but tahor, similar to them, har teru, right, tahor, with sach. This is referring to their garments. So the verse in Song of Song, which is talking about he is red, right, he's white and ruddy, it really is saying that his garments are like the angel's garments. They were clean and pure. And his complexion is ruddy. Ah, you see, some sort of like white and ruddy, like what's going on? Like he blushes a lot? No, that's the counterfeit Christian misinterpretation, because they want to sidestep the truth of the word, or they really are ignorant. But that being that right there, that just came out. I had to share that because when we study language, like, okay, it's white, but white in what sense? Right? And when you understand some words are used for clothing, while some words can be used for persons, as it says, I am black, but comely, right? And having their breasts girded with golden girdles, right? But it's this verse here. It is verse 7, right? Verse 7. We're a hot, may arba ha chayot. And one, we're a hot, and one, a hot, one, may from the arba is like the four, arba, may from the four, and one from the four, we're a hot, may arba, ha chayot, the chayot are the beasts, or elsewhere translated as living creatures, right? Now, how we take this right here, you know, we all say the beasts, but it's one of the beasts that is now, here's the question, you know, and this is not, you know, if one may dare speak this way, is there some working together between one of the four beasts, and Yahweh? Over, some things are above our pay grade on a certain level. I mean, people be talking what they talk, but then how do you explain that one of the four beasts now is given to the seven angels, seven golden vials full of the wrath of Elohim? In other words, one might have thought it would be read that, well, from Elohim, he gives the seven angels these golden vials of wrath, of his wrath. But here it's saying that one of the four beasts, you know, the beasts, you know, so the beast is a system, the beast system, or these ancient empires, however one might interpret it. But one of the four beasts, gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of wrath of Elohim, who liveth forever and ever. And I have to thank our fellow Chaber for reading that. I've heard it before, you know, this area. But when I heard him say it, I said, what? And then I remember the earlier verse in verse 4 where it says, who shall not reverence thee and glorify thy name? In other words, play your position, play your role, and don't get caught up in some of the chat. Because some people say, we have to fight against the beast system. I thought it says resist the devil and he will flee, huh? So you fight against the beast system, and then the scriptures say that he has put it in their hearts, right? It says that Yahuwah Eloheinu, Ana Elohim, has put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. So this also kind of means that, okay, regardless of what's your view, there is another view going on as well. He's put it into their hearts to fulfill their will. So if you're fighting against them in that sense, you know what I mean? Like it's up to you. Then he say he's going to take care of it, so all you have to do is take care of his word and his way, you know what I mean? Not to go above your pay grade. So one of the four beasts is the one that gives the seven angels the seven golden vials of wrath of Elohim, who liveth forever and ever. So let's reason on this. Because it says, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of Elohim and from his power, and no man was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. But these seven plagues are given to the seven angels. Interesting, this is kind of a short chapter here, right? Chapter 15, are given from one of the four beasts. So which one of those four beasts? You know, some interpret the beast systems, like when we look at Daniel and compare it with Revelation, we have Babylon, right? First beast, Medo-Persia. The second beast, the Greek, the Gracchi, right? The Greeks, right? And then we have the Romans. And then it's like that last one, according to word of prophecy, continues to this time. So if we check out, you know, from ancient Rome, when Rome fell or fell apart, so to speak, wasn't defeated, but fell apart, then became the so-called pseudo-holy Roman Empire. This is where that Babylon matrix come in with the one who exalts himself above God and everything. Yeah, the Antichrist. But the Antichrist was already working back then, right? So people say, oh, the Antichrist is coming. But the scripture said the Antichrist were already working back then. So we have to get a better understanding, right, of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a person. They look for one guy or somebody. Or is that Antichrist a position, right? The Pope, the papal position. But that's Rome going on. And then we, if you call history Caesar, Julius Caesar, Julius Caesar, right? He conquered parts of Britain, and then we get the British Empire rising up, right? And then they had the daughter, right? They sent ones over here in the American Empire. So we get to see even how it comes down to those legs. Remember the legs, you know, and part this, part clay, part iron, so forth and so on. And iron, very interesting material as well within the prophetic scheme of things. So we get to see that these are what the scripture refers to in prophetic types from Daniel to Chazon Yohanan as the beasts. So is it these beasts that we are speaking about? Because the scripture does speak about in Revelation the beasts. So I think we need to consider that and consider, you know, a relationship, right, that must be above our heads, right? Because one of the four beasts is the one who's given these plagues, right, to basically pour out, right, on those who don't, you know, who don't yay and amen. So when we see the system doing certain things, we have to be careful, you know, to stay in Yahweh, truth, and life. I just want to say a little more on that, but I'm going to meditate. We're going to pick up right here. We've got one more Iowa. I'd like to touch on Shir HaSharim, get into Shir HaSharim a little bit more, but also like to touch on the Song of the Sea. Right, the Song of the Sea. We have the Song of the Sea, which is part of the reading for day 7. Like we said, a little time dilation there. Just needed to go a little bit ahead, you know, to bring that into play right there. Song of the Sea right here. Exodus, 21 verses.
Exodus chapter 15.
Perek Tet Vav.
Then sang Moshe and the children of Israel.
Az yashfir Moshe uvnei Israel.
This song to Yahweh. They uttering.
Et hashira hazot ladonai vayomru lemor.
I shall sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed. Yes, triumphed.
Ashir al Adonai ki ga'o ga'a.
The horse and its charioteer he flung into the sea.
Sus verochevo rama bayam.
By fierce might and strength is Yah.
Ozi vezimrat Yah.
He has become deliverance for me.
Vayihili lishua.
This is my God, I honor him.
Ze eli ve'anvehu.
The God of my father, I exalt him.
Elohe Avi va'aromemenu.
Yahweh is a man of war.
Adonai ish milchama.
Yahweh is his name.
Adonai shemu.
Pharaoh's chariots and his army he hurled into the sea.
Markevot paro vehelo yara vayam.
His choicest teams of three.
sank in the sea of reeds.
ומבחר שלישיו טובעו וים סוף.
Oceans covered them.
תהומות יחסיומו.
They went down in the depths like a stone.
ירדו במצולות כמו אבן.
Your right hand, O Yahweh, majestic in power.
ימינך אדוני נעדרי בכוח.
Your right hand, O Yahweh, shattered the enemy.
ימינך אדוני תרעץ אויב.
In your great triumph, you smashed your foes.
וברוב גאונך תהרוס קמך.
You sent forth your fury, consumed them like chaff.
תשלח הרונך יוכלם או קשקש.
By the breath of your nostrils, the waters piled up.
וברוח אפיך נערמו מים.
The gushing streams stood up like a dam.
ניצבו חמונד נוזלים.
The oceans congealed in the heart of the sea.
קפאו תהומות בלב ים.
Uttered the enemy.
אמר אויב.
I will pursue.
ארדוף.
Overtake.
אשיג.
And apportion the plunder.
אחלק שלל.
My greed will be filled on them.
תמלאם ונפשי.
My sword I shall draw.
אריק חרבי.
My hand dispossess them.
דורישמו ידי.
You blew with your breath, the sea covered them.
נשפת ורוחך כסמו ים.
They plunged down like lead in majestic waters.
צללו כעופרת במים אדירים.
Who is like you among the gods, O Yahweh?
מי כמוך באלים אדוני?
Who is like you, majestic among the holy ones?
מי כמוך נעדר בקודש?
Feared one of praises.
נורא תהילות.
Doer of wonders.
עושה פלא.
You stretched out your right hand.
נטית ימינך.
The underworld swallowed them.
תבלעם הארץ.
You led in your faithfulness, your people redeemed.
נחית בחסדך עם זו גאלת.
Guided in your fierce might to your holy pasture.
נהלת ועוזך אל נווה קודשך.
The peoples heard.
שמעו עמים.
They shuddered.
ירגזון.
Writhing seas, Philistia's settlers.
חיל אחז יושב פלשת.
And then terrified Edom's chieftain.
אז נבהלו אלופי אדום.
Moab's rams, trembling did seize them.
אלי מואב יוחזמו רעד.
Then melted away all Canaan's settlers.
נמוגו כל יושבי חנען.
There fell upon them dread and anguish.
תיפול עליהם אימתה ופחד.
Before your arm's greatness, they drew dumb like stone.
בגדול זרועך ידמו כאבן.
Until they crossed, your people, O Yahweh.
עד יעבור עמך אדוני.
Until they crossed, the people you fashioned.
עד יעבור עם זו קנית.
You brought them, you planted them, on the mount of your heritage.
תביאמו ותתאמו בהר נחלתך.
Foundation of your seat, which you prepared, O Yahweh.
מכון לשבתך פעלת אדוני.
The holy shrine, O Lord, founded by your hand.
מקדש אדוני כוננו ידיך.
Let Yahweh be king for the ages, eternity.
Adonai imloch le'olam va'ed.
For Pharaoh's horses came with chariots and riders into the sea.
Kiva sus par'o berichvo u'farashav bayam.
But Yahweh turned back the sea's waters upon them.
Vayashev Adonai alehem et mehayam.
And the children of Israel went upon the dry land through the midst of the sea.
Uvnei Israel halechu vayabasha betoch hayam.
Now Miriam the prophetess, Aharon's sister, took a timbrel in her hand.
ותיקח מרים הנביאה אחות אהרון את התוף בידה.
And all the women went out after her.
ותצאנה כל הנשים אחריה.
With timbrels and with dancing.
בתופים ובמחולות.
Miriam chanted to them.
ותען להם מרים.
Sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed. Yes, triumph.
שירו לאדוני כי גאו גאה.
The horse and the charioteer flung into the sea.
סוס ורוכבו רמה בים.
Moshe had Israel move on from the Sea of Reeds.
ויסע משה את ישראל מים סוף.
And they went out to the wilderness of Shur.
ויצאו אל מדבר שור, 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 מדבר
שור, מדבר שור, wilderness of Shur. Just give a good example right there of what it says in James, or Jacob, known as the Epistle of James 4 and 7. Lachen, hikanu, lelohima, hita yatzbua neged hasatan, we yivrach mipnekem. Here the translation 4 and 7 of James, they submit yourselves, therefore, to Elohim, true good, true God. Lachen, therefore, hikanu l'Elohim, submitting yourself to Elohim. Hita yatzibu neged, hita yatzibu, to stand neged, like opposed, to stand against, to stand opposed, to withstand. Hasatan, the adversary, called Diablos, the devil, but the Satan, the adversary. Even the adversarial mind, we yivrach, and he will flee mipanei kem, from before your faces, right here, here, here. Song of the Sea, the Shirat Hayam gives a good, a good example of that, and hopefully ones and ones have good examples in their life and their liberty in the face of the King of Kings Christ, HaMoshiach, Yeshua, HaNotri. So here, Hear from, we could say, one song, right, one shir, to the Shir HaShirim. We have picked up, firstly, on that Shabbat, the Shir HaShirim, some of the basic overview right there, during Pesach week, the customary read of the love song of King Solomon called Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, how in the HaYehudim tried in tradition, Passover marks a time of what some might call, quote, romance, end quote, but like a love affair, betrothal, with Yahuwah Elohim officially beginning with Kol Yisrael of Israel. Many of the sages, as we mentioned, the bygone ages, they chose this song to celebrate Yah's love for Yah people, for Jah people. And since Pesach is also known as the Chag HaAviv, the festival of the springtime festival, the Shir, HaShir, is also associated with creativity and hope associated with springtime. Key verses, Song of Songs, chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Once again, let's just get a read to be reminded. We share the full of the audible, but chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, for behold, winter, the winter's past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Now, the author of Shir HaShirim is Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon the Goose, Solomon. And that's indicated in the opening verse, the Song of Songs, that is Solomon. The sense of that is written, that is Solomon's song, Song of Songs 1 and 1. As we mentioned already, just to mention again, in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, it stated that he, speaking of Shlomo, Solomon, also spoke 3,000 mashlim, proverbs, parables, allegories, and his songs were 1,005. Now, since the book of Proverbs, Mishlei Shlomo, contains far less than 3,000 proverbs, it is likely that his best, some say, well, since it says that he had spoke this many proverbs, he spoke them, right? That these were the best selected for the book of Proverbs. And we also just want to point this out. We want to say, well, Amenemope, this goes back to ancient Egypt, and there's a likeness there. Yeah, of course there is. You know, wise man, respect wise man. He's like, you know, like respects like, of course, you know, but still this is the Proverbs of Shlomo, of Solomon. And therefore the best was selected for the Sefer, for the book. And while there's a psalm also attributed, a psalm, a mizmor, attributed to Shlomo, or King Solomon, that's Psalm 72. Check it out in the superscription, Psalm 72. It will say of Solomon, or for Solomon, Lishlomo. And the only other song that we have bearing his name is this here, Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, that in Hebrew can be rendered as the greatest song, the greatest of all songs. The other songs of Solomon, however, seems to have been, you know, lost to us, but there's also some of the apocryphal psalms, like the Ode of Solomon, Psalm of Solomon. There are books like that, but some dispute it because the only copies or extant copies seem to be in the Koine Greek, you know. But the song here is usually interpreted as an allegory, a parable, a proverb of the love of fear between Yah, right, and Yah people, between Jah and Jah people, between Yahweh Eloheinu and Amo Yisrael. Now, the beloved represents Yahweh, represents Elohim, God. Therefore, he says, as a lily among thorns. Like I said before, when reading the Hebrew, I noticed this in the King of Kings Bible as well. And now getting more into the Hebrew, I noticed it in the Hebrew too. You know, with knowledge and ability and intelligence, you begin to discern that, okay, this is a woman speaking here. Okay, this is a man speaking here. I think I use that with when she says, Ani Shechora, Shechora. My Shachor is black. If it was a man, it'd be Ani Shachor. You know, Shachor, Shachor, I am black. But she says Shachora. This is how we know it's she speaking. So it's a back and forth. It's like antiphon, I think, like a call and a response is what it's called. So the beloved representing Elohim therefore says, as a lily among thorns, so is my love for you among the daughters. And now the maiden, the love interest, representing Yah's people, Jah's people, replies, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. That's Song of Songs, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Now, some of the ancient and recent past scholars, Yehudi scholars, one, for example, Maimonides, he had argued, right, that the song Hashir was intended to teach about the Ahabat Hashem, the Ahabat, the love of Hashem, of the name, the Ahabat Yahweh, the love of Jehovah, the love of Elohim. And some of the ancient teachings, Talmud and otherwise, reports that Rabbi Akiva, or Akiva, as they would say today, but Akiva, he argued for the incision of the song in the canon of the Hebrew Bible, right? The Hebrew Bible, by saying that if all the other books of the scripts are considered to be regarded as kedoshim, holy ones, like kedoshim in the plural sense, holy ones, then he said Shir HaShirim must be considered the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies. That's in Megillah 7a. Now, what's interesting is that there were some, right, who did not want to include Song of Songs. They thought that Song of Songs was too carnal. You know, I guess it's the mind, right? I do not want no carnal mind, but if it's read from one point of view, some said that the book shouldn't even be there. So there was a kind of a argument over some ages of whether to include it. There wasn't a doubt that it was connected to Solomon, but is it too sensuous, you know, from a certain view, and they didn't want it in the book. So we had ones like Rebbe Akiva, who had argued for the inclusion of the song into the canon, because if all the other books are kedoshim, then a true receptivity of Shir HaShirim it must be Kodesh Ha Kodashim, must be Holy of Holies. Now, Akiva is reported to have further said this, that the whole world, right, the whole world attained its supreme value only on the day that Song of Songs was given to Yisrael. Right, that's in the Mishnah Yadayim 3 and 5. Another scholar of Torah, Rashi, he agreed, right, and therefore he states that all the references to Shlomo, Solomon, in the song actually refer to Yahuwah, Melech HaOlam, he who be, who he be, the eternal king or the king of the universe, who creates peace, shalom, in his high places. Others had likened like Soren Kierkegaard, he regarded the song parable. Remember Yeshua speaking those parables? The word for parable and a proverb basically is one and the same word, essentially. A parable, a proverb about the disguise of Ahava, right, of love, the tender passion that is hidden so as to elevate, it elevates the identity of the beloved, of the beloved. Now, ones like Rashi interpreted the song, Song of Songs, as an allegory of a young and beautiful woman. Within the narrative, we have the Shulamite, referred to as the Shulamite, one of a place called Shulam, right, who becomes engaged to and then marries a king, a melech or a negus. However, sometime later, the woman becomes unfaithful to him. And HaMelech, the king, then sent her into exile to live as a widow. Now, despite his heartache, HaMelech, the king, the Negus's love for her remained constant and firm. And he secretly watched over her and protected her from, as we have in the Song of Songs, behind the lattice work. I think in KJV it says behind the lattice work, which is like behind the shutters, you know, the window shutters, behind the shutters, the lattice work. When she finally resolved to return, to do teshuvah, to turn around, to return, and to be faithful to him, and to him, echad, to him, you could say alone, to him, the one, and one and the only, HaMelech took her back with a love that was fully restored. Now, for ones like Rashi and others who interpreted this, the Yehudi, the Judahite people, right, to say the Israelite people were engaged to Yahweh Elohim when he took them Mimitzrayim, out of Mitzrayim called ancient Egypt. At that time, Yisrael, Israel, right, when we say Israel, we're speaking about Israel in this context. Sometimes Israel is referred to as a son. Israel's my son. You read in the prophets, he often refers to Israel as like a woman and in some cases like an unfaithful wife. So Israel, though it's all of us, sometimes we take that corporate identity. Like with Israel coming out of Egypt as a son, Israel in the prophecy refers to her, right? Like her collectively, right? So Israel then pledged, we could say like the bride, then pledged love and loyalty to Yahuwah Elohim alone. Where? At Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai. Now, Mount Sinai, Har Sinai, Hebraically is a type of a chuppah. What's a chuppah? A chuppah is a marriage canopy. You know, so in ancient shroud and tradition, when ones would get married, they would pitch like a canopy. You know, like a canopy, almost like an open tent, so to speak, by canopy. But later, speaking about Yisrael, who had pledged love and loyalty to Yahweh Eloheinu alone at Har Sinai, but later proved to be unfaithful. First, with the sin, the ukkari of the molten calf, the Egel Maseka, and then through subsequent acts of infidelity, of unfaithfulness. Indeed, her infidelity, now we're speaking about Israel as like that bride, that wife, as in fact that, you know, people talk about, oh, did God have a wife? Well, according to a Hebrew perspective, that would be Yisrael,
especially through the prophets, when we read through the prophets, right? But first it was with the molten calf incident. Then through subsequent acts of infidelity. Indeed, her infidelity, speaking about Yisrael all as one, right? All as one woman, proved to be so great that Yahweh Eloheinu reluctantly sent her into exile. Now, according to some teachers, the opening verse, what's that opening verse right here? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Here we have our Hebrew right here. So that's the second verse, first verse. It says, Shir HaShirim Asher Lishlomo. Shir HaShirim Asher Lishlomo. Lishlomo. Song of Songs of Solomon. Song of Songs that is, that which is Solomon's. Second verse, the bait verse right here. Yishakeni. Yishakeni. Yishak, may he kiss ani. Yishak eini, may he kiss me. Mi nishikot, from the kisses. Pihu, from the kisses of his pi, the fi, the fi, the mouth. Pihu, from the kisses of his mouth. Ki, for, contextually speaking, like a for or because. Ki, tovin. Tovim, dodeka, for goodlies. See, tov is good here, is tovim, like good in the plural sense. Ki tovim, for good goods, right? Dodeka, for good is dodeka. Dode, like love, like we say, leka dodi, come my friend, come my love. So here, ki tovim dodeka, for good is your love. Mi yayin, me from yayin. Yayin, in the Hebrew we say yayin. The pointing is different a little bit in the Highland Amharic, and the good is we say woin, woin. We have woin, woin, and we have yayin here. So here the second verse, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth or from his mouth, for thy love, dodeka, is better than wine. So the sense of better is a tobin, for goodly thy love from wine. For, and in translation, the sense of when we say like ki tobin, using the sense of good in that sense, is to say it's better, right? Almost like the best. So, yishakeni, let him kiss me. Yishakeni mina shikot, from the nishikot, from the nashak, the kisses. Mina shikot, pi hu, of his mouth, ki tovim dodeka mi yayin, for thy love, the I love, speaking directly to he, dodeka, that's another way we can tell who's being spoken to. You know what I mean? You know, so she is speaking in that sense to he, right there. Some say here's a note right here on that verse. Either I, the spoken of the Shulamite of her absent lover, or by the daughters of Jerusalem, right, who speak in that kind of a collective sense of Solomon, daughters of Jerusalem of Shlomo, but most likely the form of the Shulamite. Some translate this as, oh, that he would kiss me. Yishakeni means shikota pihu. Oh, that he would kiss me. So intense is her passion that she changes from the second to the third person almost in the same breath. Let him kiss me, which is followed by thy love. Those who contend that the verse was spoken by the ladies, the daughters of Jerusalem, the ladies of the court, hold that their purpose was to excite her. So some interpret this that, well, actually this could be spoken by the daughters of Jerusalem. And, well, why? Why that? Well, the ladies, the daughters of the court, are actually seeking to excite her admiration of the king. Like almost to big up the king. Perhaps one of them utters, some say, the first words, and the others follow with verse 3, right? Verse 3, the next verse, thine ointments have a goodly fragrance. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the maidens love thee.
for thy love is better than wine. Dodim. Dodim. Dodim is love. Well, loves. Loves. Right? Remember we said the yod mean, the im at the end usually imply in some senses at least two. Right? So we can also look at this in the sense of the literal sense, the figure sense, and the spiritual sense. Or the dodim as love because there's a reciprocal sense. Dodim, love, literally loves, but translated as love, also mean caresses and manifestations of love. It is a Hebrew idiom, right, to call every banquet of pleasure and joy by the name of wine. Check this. It is a Hebrew idiom to call every banquet of pleasure or joy by the name of wine. We have examples of this in Esther. Esther chapter 7, verse 2, and in Isaiah the prophet, chapter 24, verse 9. Allegorical interpretation of this, now looking at this in the allegorical interpretation, it refers it to the giving of HaTorah. And Yahweh Eloheinu, Einai Elohim, speaking directly to Yisrael, directly to Israel. So let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth for your, see, he changed right there. He's talking about him. And now from third person to second person, for your love is better than wine. This is allegorically spoken by Yisrael in exile as she pines right away for the former intimacy that she once enjoyed with Yahuwah Eloheinu. Yishakeini min shikot pihu. Ki tobin dodeka miyayin. The interpretation, the Targum also brings forward, as Rashi and others do, that it follows the theme of the Hebrew prophets, the Navim or Nabiyayim. Nabiyayim, modern Hebrew Navim. The Hebrew prophets who sometimes refer to Yisrael as the wife of Yahuwah. They mean to do that video, somebody here, and this, if you, the goods, the truth in the scripture, bring it forward. You know what I mean? That when he talk about, oh, the Asherah and this and that, that's God's wife. Elohim, well, maybe you're God or whatever you call it, you know, but according to the scripture, right, Israel, right, is his wife, according to the prophets. Now, according to the prophet Hosea, right? According to the prophet Hosea, for instance, Hosea, idolatry among Yisrael is likened to adultery. It's likened to fornication and adultery that breaches the marriage contract. The marriage contract between Elohim, representing, we could say, the bridegroom, you know, the husband, right, and Amo Yisrael, right, the Kala, the bride. Now, Messianic, those who are Messianic among the Yehudim, the Messianic believers, they interpret the song as a picture, as a word picture of Ha'adon Yeshua, of the master, the boss, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, and his followers. In order, so from a messianic view, and even in some what they call Christian interpretations, that is brought out, right? But first of course, brought out from the Nazarenes and the others in the time of Moshiach, who many of them, at least initially, were Yehudim, right? Judeans, Judahites. So the messianic view and the Christian view interpret the song as a picture of Jesus, or some say Jesus, Lord Jesus, Ha'adon Yeshua, and his followers, his disciples and followers collectively, in a collective sense, all as one, called the Kalat Moshiach. Now somebody asks, well, if Kala is bride, why do you say Kalat there? Because kalat is a constructive sense in the Hebrew. So when kalat is there, that means it's like saying bride of. Saying just bride by itself, kala. Right? So here in the constructive sense, like bride of, kalat, Mashiach, the bride of Messiah. We have this in Ephesians
chapter 5, verse 23, as well as verse 25. This is a word picture of Ha'adon Yeshua of Gittai Yesus as the, quote, bridegroom of the soul. Isn't it interesting that soul in the Hebrew and Afro-Shemitic languages is also feminine? It doesn't matter if it's in a man or woman or whatever. So somebody say, I have a male soul. That's like a duppy or something. I mean, I know. You know, but the soul is feminine, right, in principle. So it's interesting how even along the allegorical lines of interpretation, it still works, right? As a word picture of Ha'adon Yeshua as the bridegroom of Ha'nefesh, of the soul, that personally, right, personal, that personal relationship, right, that personally knows and trusts in his love, Ahavato. When we read this book in the scriptures in our Bibles, it's important to remember, talking about Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim, to remember that we are listening to a song. Let's recall in mind, we're listening to a shir, a song, and not to a story or a narrative being recounted. Again, it's important to keep in mind, to remember that when we're listening and reading, right, we're reading and listening to a song and not to a story or a narrative being recounted. You see, Hashir, the Shir, Hashir, Hashir is not recited, right, in any sense of chronological order. See, so in reading through Song of Songs, it's not like a chronological retelling of something that happened that's being recounted, right? It's not in chronological order, but rather there's the use of what we can call as flashbacks, kind of like memories. Memories don't live like people do. Memories, these flashbacks, or antiphony. Antiphony, what's antiphony? It's like a call and response. Like, you know, when I say yay, you say yeah, you know, a back and a forth, or what we can call responsive verses. So some verses in scripture, even in the Psalms and elsewhere, are like responsive verses that comes from the Shulamite woman. Right, the Shulamite woman. Now, when I say this, please, Chavarim, you know, bear with me. You know, the Cinderella sense, you know, that figure, you know, that woman figure. Now, of course, they've taken that idea somewhere else, but Song of Songs puts it back on track, right? The figure who worked in the vineyards, right? The Shulamite woman who worked in the vineyards, and she also tended the sheep. So she was a shepherdess. She was a pastor. Pastor is somebody who basically tends to sheep. Can women be pastors? Can women tend to sheep? Okay. The daughters of Yerushalayim, right? The bridegroom, the family of the Shulamites, and so on. Right now, because of this Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, has often been fully interpreted and sometimes just to interpret, right? There's leading scholars, right, as F. DeLeach, I like his work, F. DeLeach, right, to describe it as, quote, the most difficult book of the Berit HaYeshana, called the Old Testament, to understand. So some who are very adept, you know, and were blessed with a good comprehension of things Hebrew and biblical, even they would say this book is most difficult book of the Old Testament to understand. Now, literally, let's touch on a couple of lines of interpretation. Song of Songs. Literally interpreted, the song seems unworthy of inclusion into the canon of scripture, and at times even appears to be written in, quote, bad taste. Now, I don't know if we have time to go into some of those sections to point it out. I just pointed out to the Chavarim, but there are some sections that when you read it, especially understanding the Hebrew or in the directness, you'd be like, whoa, whoa. You know what I mean? So some who were familiar with the Hebrew, they thought to include it into, you know, this, you know, holy scripture, right? And they argued against it. I think even like Rav Akiva, part of his reasoning was like, kind of like it shouldn't be included because it's so holy that like in the Holy of Holies, it's only the high priest that goes in there, right? One should really go in this because it's such holiness. Ones who defile that holiness. Now, why would such an ambiguity attend to a sefer, right, or a book that is called the noblest song or the crown of all songs, Shir HaShirim, in the biblical Hebrew. Why would natural love alone be so exalted? These are questions that we need to ask. Why would natural love, because clear from this, a plain read of it, we're speaking about like two love parties, you know, a man and a woman, right? But so why would natural love, right? Natural love alone be so exalted, to be regarded as inspired by the Ruach HaKadosh, by the Holy Spirit. Now, on a more mystical or metaphorical, you know, we say even a new covenant interpretation, when we understand it mystically, so to speak, the song Hashir is sung to those who are in a loving relationship with Elohim. It describes the interior, the innermost of the inner sense. But not to get into that inner sense, that requires some innocence. It describes the interior meaning of the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKodashim Chavarim, and therefore is reserved for those who access the inner region or inner sanctum of the divine love of Yahweh Eloheinu, Aina Elohim. This is elsewhere called the secret place of Elyon, the secret place of Elyon, of the Most High, of the Highest. Now, some people interpret Hashir, Song of Songs, the song, as an idealized version of wedded love. Idealized. This is like the ideal, like the kind of the goal, so to speak, the idealized version of wedded love. Now, there's a famous verse from Hashir, from the Song of Songs, that is often inscribed in traditional Yehudi, Judaic, right, Judahite wedding rings. Did you know? There's a well-known verse, right, and it's from Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 3. What is that verse? Ani Lidodi Widodi Li Har Ba Shoshani Haroe Ba Shoshani. Again, Ani Lehozia. I repeat, Ani Lidodi Widodi Li. I am of my beloved. I am for my beloved. Ani lidodi. I am for Dodi. I am for my beloved with and Dodi, my beloved Li. Li is of me, is mine. Ani lidodi with Dodi Li. Haroeh. He pastures, like say shepherd. Haroeh. He is a shepherd. In that sense, the Ro'eh, Yahuwah Ro'i, Jehovah is my shepherd. Ha-Ro'eh, he pastures or shepherds Ba Shoshanim, among the lilies, the Shoshanim. It's interesting when we look at the lilies. You know, people talk about star, David, and this and that. But I call that the lily. It's actually the lily. That shape actually comes from the lily. You know, and the use of the Shushan and the Shoshan among Israel, and especially in the prophetic and the other books of scripture, the lilies, when we look at the points, right, of the lilies, right? The symbol, the hexagram, symbol is not evil, but the evildoers use even the good things of Yah for evil purposes. So we have to check that. Just want to make a link with the Shoshanim, the lilies, right, and that particular shape sigil, right, that they call the six-pointed star. But when we look at the lily, it be as that. I see some lilies that have five. Does that mean we should cut them down and destroy them or whatever because some evildoer? No. We should resist HaSatan to make him flee, you know, chase him out of this earth. Ani lidodi widodi li haro'eh bashoshanim. So this is the phrase, right? The part of the phrase that's inscribed on traditional Yehudi Judahite wedding rings is, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. The first part of Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 3. Ani lidodi.
Widodi Li. Ani Lidodi Widodi Li. That part symbolized the devoted union, right? Mawahad, that sense of Tawahido of the two lovers, that devoted union. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. My beloved is mine. So we have that particular verse right there. Now the song, Shir HaShirim, it also speaks, right, of sexual love, of sexual love. I don't think anything we're going to say here is going to be too above board, so maybe the youths can't hear, but maybe you hear first, right? So maybe send them out the room. I don't know. You know, just pause for a moment, right? The song speaks of sexual love, right? But when you actually can receive it in spirit and in truth in terms that are set apart, that are holy and not carnal, not fleshy, it should be noted that the allegorical interpretation, what is that? That's the interpretation about Elohim's love, Yah's love for his people, is stretched when we consider some of the erotic language in the Hebrew, right, used with the language of worship, right, or in this particular song. There is some erotic language found in the song. And, you know, we studied this and even formed it into a play, you know, like a play right here. Have to bring that forward again and share that with ones and ones. But when we got to some of those parts, it was like, whoa, I went over it. And you think like, man, like, forgive me, Father, you know, but I went on. I said, no, that's what it's saying. So there is erotic language that's found in Shir HaShirim. Now, hope everybody don't just rush to look for that right there. But let's understand it in spirit and in truth. So some commentators, they warn, right, that we should never mix the erotic language with the language of worship. Some would say that. But notwithstanding that, right, many of those who've taken more of the spiritual or a more of a mystical, you know, which kind of foreshadows in the Hebrew sense, the New Covenant sense, have clearly preferred to regard the song in terms of Elohim's intimacy and his intimate love, his ahaba, right, for HaNefesh, for the soul, and for Kol Yisrael. And the various stanzas, verses, and sections are thought to picture the beloved as Elohim, who is wooing HaNefesh, who is wooing his love interest, that is the soul, even I and I souls. He, the beloved, brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. With diglo alai ahaba. With and diglo, his degel. Degel is a banner, diglo in a possessive sense, his banner with diglo. And his banner alai, above I, ahaba. Right? It was ahaba. Some would say ahava, ahaba. So one day, the mysterious shepherd, Ro'eh, who traveled with no sheep, told the woman he was leaving, but he promised he would return to her. This is also found in the Shir HaShirim, that this mysterious shepherd who traveled with no sheep told the woman he was leaving, promised that he would return to her. The days they passed and she waited, but her family and friends, this is found in the Shir HaShirim, her family and friends, they began to ridicule her hope, ridicule her expectation. Nonetheless, she loved Ha-Ro'eth, the shepherd, and dreamed and was thinking intensely of being with him. So we get to chapter 3, verse 1, and she says, on my bed by night, I sought him who nafshi loves, who my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not. She longed to be with her beloved, her beloved, right? She missed him, and she dreamt and thought of him, dreamed of a day when they would be together again. There were even strange visitations, right? No, there's a fragrance of her lover in the air. She's smelling him in the air, right? Was he here? That she could not explain. Surely this longing, it represents the soul's homesickness for Shemayim, you know, for, you could say, for the heavens and for the holy and the presence of Adonai Yeshua in spirit and in truth. Thus we have the verse, make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, run, right? Or to a young heart, skip and dance upon the mountains of spices. Now, sometime later, as she was working in the vineyard, she saw a caravan approaching, right? And she went, right? And she cried. The cry went forward when she saw the caravans approaching. The cry went, King Solomon is coming. Song of Songs 3, verses 6 to 7. Then someone ran to her and said, HaMelech is asking for you. But why would HaMelech, the king, the Negus, even Negus Nekeres, ask for her? Because the mysterious shepherd, the Ro'eh, Erenya, had wooed her in disguise, in, quote, garments of lowliness. You know, he didn't wear that royal stuff. He just wore some regular, you know, garments even of lowliness, right? To do what? To win her heart before he revealed his true ID, his true identity. Now, for more on this, some like Kegar guards, he goes into this parable of the king and the maiden. Very interesting reason, man. Check it out. The king and the maiden. Now, the voice of the good shepherd speaks. And we get to Song of Songs, chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. Arise, my love, my fear, my beautiful one, my eyeful one, and come away. Oh, my dove, you are in the clefts of the rock. Now, like the Shulamite woman, even I are hidden where? In the clefts of the rock, though we are not forgotten. The hope, the expectation of I and I, Yeshua, salvation, victory, fulfilled in Yahweh, in Yah's love, and in our response. What is our response to that love? We have this refrain here, Song of Songs 8 and 14. Make haste, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. Birah, brah, birah, brah, brah dodi, brah dodi. Make haste, right, my love. Brah dodi. U deme leka. U deme and be like be for the eye, right? U deme leka litzvi, litzvi. Litzvi, translated as a gazelle, you know, a gazelle, right? Or in the Hebrew, or a young stag, le offer, you know, the ofer, interesting, ofer, right? Offer, right? Le ofer. Ha ayalim, ha ofir hayalim, all upon hare, the mountains of Bisamim. But that can also be pointed as Bosamim. We say kana bosam, Bisamim, or Bosamim, bosam, right? The mountains of spices, the mountains of choice spices. Finally, brothers and sisters and brothers, finally, right, it should be noted that Shir HaShirim is sometimes likened to the lilies. Now, check out the shape of lilies, right? Shoshanim, right? Having the same shape as what some call the star. I just call it the lilies of David. You know, the lilies. The lilies really of Israel in essence, the Shoshanim. You'll find that Shoshanim, this Hebrew idiom directly and where it appears in the scripture has a very significant meaning. As mentioned in Psalm 45. Now, so Psalm 45 is often theme of royal wedding song that presents a messianic vision, right, of the divine bridegroom. Let it be noted that this psalm in the coronation of the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, Kedemah, Halas, Elasi,
Negus Neges Ethiopia, King of Kings of Ethiopia, Siumexia, the elect of God. This particular psalm, you know, plays a significant role in the anointing and the coronation of the King of Kings of the tribe of Judah upon the throne of David in that land that was Psalm 87, verse 4, with Ethiopia, this man was born there. So we have Psalm 45 that presents a messianic vision of the divine bridegroom and offers an ode for a forthcoming, right? A forthcoming wedding. Now we get to Revelation. We see the marriage of the Lamb. Now the imagery of lilies, Shoshanim, appears frequently in the Shir HaShirim, in Song of Songs. And similar poetic Hebraic poetic devices are used in this psalm, right, and this song. When we get to this psalm, Psalm 45, 10 to 11 says, "Hear, O daughter, and consider. Incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. And the king will desire your beauty," or "the king greatly desires your beauty, since he is your Adon, he is your Lord. Bow to him." So this is in Psalm 45. Of course, other readings may have a slightly different translation, but Psalm 45, verses 10 to 11. "Soon Yahuwah will return to his betrothed, and then we, I and I, will finally celebrate the great marriage with our king and the marriage of the Lamb." So we can see, even in the Shir HaShirim, if properly understood, right, from the Yeshua perspective, right, many worship that which they know not, but we know worship salvation of HaYehudim, the Judahites, it becomes clear much of the symbology that what we find even in Revelation has this background context elsewhere in Scripture, and in particular in this exquisite song, Song of Songs of Solomon, Shir HaShirim. So hear, hear, my brothers and sisters and brothers, you know, hear, 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 you know, coming through the fullness of even the, you could say, the Shabbat, right, here to the first day, as is our usual trod. 144, Psalm 144, sealing it up as we're beginning in the sequence of new Shavuah. Still have, you know, still have another day, right? It gives us another day in the forward, in the fulfillment of this right here, here, here. But here, 144, the dub of the Nazarene, Psalm 144, the sealing up, right, of the sabbatical, we say the time, right, as we move forward into new Shavuah, while we fulfill also this feast, this festival, Chag HaPesach, Sameach Chabarim, U Talmidim, friends, associate, and disciples.
Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings,
who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
This is Psalms 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana, just me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
World and they that dwell therein.
And they that dwell therein. For he had found it upon the sea.
He had born and he done the sea.
And established it upon the flood.
Establish it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jah?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands.
He that hath
and a pure heart.
And pure heart.
Who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity. Nor scorned his people. He hath received the blessing from Jah Jah. And righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. Generation of them that seek him.
This is a generation that seek him the most high God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Oh, lift up
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
I say, who?
Glory shall come in.
And the King of glory, yes, the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory? Emperor Haile Selassie. He is the King of glory.
Who is the King of glory?
Rastafari. He is the King of glory. King of glory.
Who is the King of glory?
Who is the King of glory?
Who is the King of glory?
Emperor Haile Selassie.
Emperor
of Ethiopia. King of kings. Lord of lords. Conquering lion in the tribe of Judah. He makes up himself. Light of the world.
Yes, we have the joy.
Yes, yes, the King of Kings of Ethiopia. So it's all about Yeshua. Yes, I, the way, the truth, and the life, King of Kings, Christ. So here, just ride up.
Shavua Tov, a good strong. Good sabbatically speaking. Yes, I, Shalom, Chavarim, Shalom. Give thanks.
And here on the outro, may Yah bless the eye, keep eye, cause his face is grace, and shine on the eye, give the eye Yeshua shalom. Baruch Hashem, right here, outro here, as we fulfill in this feast, this season, right here, feast of the Passover, be well, Chavarim, brothers and sisters and brothers, love one another, by Hashem Yeshua, Passover. This is the Congo, feast of the Passover.